Saving money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today. Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. Well, no Lance. Eric Layden in for Lance this morning. Lance is on a mission. And Eric Layden has decided to stop on by in studio with us here. Thanks for joining us, Eric. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I feel like I'm cheating on Lance.
Yeah. Well, no, you're not really cheating on Lance, actually.
John would be the one cheating.
Yeah, I'm the one that would be cheating. You're the
cheaty.
Yeah, you're the hoe.
You're the,
I'm the hoe.
Home wrecker.
Yeah.
Since it's 7, we use hoe like at 8.
Okay.
Yeah. You said Lance was on a mission. Is he snipping babies?
He could
stuff
be. I don't know what he's
doing.
You don't know if he's sniffing snipping babies.
That's why I'm asking. You said he was on a mission.
I think he probably, you know Lance, I think he likes to do that.
I don't know that he likes to do that.
He's a moyle?
Yeah.
You know, he and Tebow.
A rabbi?
They like to go and snip babies. I don't know what Lance is doing. He said he had some kind of mission that he was on. And so he is, he's out there. Now, well, obviously you can't hear us because the stream up?
No, I had to restart our computer the server computer, and that takes about 20 minutes. So,
okay, so
it'll be a little bit.
It'll be in a little bit. But if we're telling people that we're not on the stream,
well, you brought it up.
I know.
You could tweet them if you'd like.
I'll tweet everybody that the stream will be up soon. That Dell kind of screwed everybody today.
That would be incorrect. Well, Dell actually tuned into the stream at like 6:10 just to make sure it was either on or off, and it wasn't, so I knew when I got here I had to fix it. So I was proactive.
Well, if you'd have gotten here 20 minutes early, then you would have been able to do it, and it would be up by now.
I got here about 6:35.
Well, guess what? If it takes 20 minutes.
And I did two things that I wanted to do so I wouldn't have to restart it because I knew how long it would take.
Do you see how this goes, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like 6:25 might have been the sweet spot there.
Yeah. I kind of feel like, you know, you're not really committed.
To what? The stream?
To the stream, to the people.
Well, okay. I'm clearly not committed to the people, as your favorite guy, Lance Berkman, once said. It doesn't say the people on my paycheck.
It says Drayton McClain Jr.
Yeah.
Right? And in yours says Mr. Gow.
So I don't know what it says.
You're committed to Mr. Gow.
I'm committed to Mr. Gow, definitely.
Yeah. No, I know that. I know. So what a weekend. I actually watched tennis.
Dude.
Like, I am so, like, diametrically opposed to tennis. I think tennis is like, if you want to talk about a dying sport that no one gives a rat's ass about, it has like one tournament that is actually ever, and even this weekend with the championships, it's not on broadcast television, it's on cable, it's on ESPN.
Yeah.
You know, golf is on. I have this argument with a tennis guy here all the time. Golf is on every weekend national television. You want to talk about a popular sport. Tennis blows. And there's three guys. You know, what a shock. It was Nadal, Federer, and Djokovic that made the semifinals. And then there's one other guy. There's always just one other guy. He used to be Andy Murray, and now he's dead. So there's no more Andy Murray,
no,
right?
Pete Sampras ain't walking through the door.
No. So there's three guys that you know.
Yeah.
So why don't we just have a four-person tournament every, because it's going to be the same thing.
What do we? How do we get the fourth? We raffle.
We could now. Those guys could play off for a fourth that only their parents would watch, and no one would care.
Maybe that's what we do. Everybody plays the tournament. And we just pre-seed with like a three-round bye.
That's
a four-round bye.
And and those guys are sitting there and finally go, okay, why do I have to do all of that stuff? What was simply amazing to me though was, as old as Federer is, and you know, as good, how 4.5 hours into this thing, he is still getting to every ball.
And he had beaten Nadal.
Yes.
So none of those guys apparently have ever, none of the big three have ever won after beating one of the other big three. So Joker had a huge advantage going in there, not having seeded in the bracket with Nadal.
How about that?
So, I mean, you know, and to be able to go toe-to-toe with Joker, who's clearly younger, moving a lot better, I'm with you there. Tennis is dead. However, watching those two guys battle, just as a sports fan alone, is unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it is. That was as good and fun a match. Holy crap, the action. But now, I thought Federer could have changed all that. Just at the end, he just missed shots. During the tiebreak. During the tiebreak, he just missed everything. I mean, up until then, he was hitting shot after shot. And of course, when he broke Joker, it looked like
at 8-8.
Yeah.
Then he had two match points.
Then he hit, and he blew both. And he blew it.
And then he looked kind of dead after that. You know, but he somehow rallied. First of all, the new format, 12-12. I mean, I was like, this is insane.
Right.
I thought I was going to be there for 2 days watching this thing. But he is notoriously bad at tiebreakers. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what the mental click is there. I mean, tennis is already a wacky scored sport where you go 15 to 30 to 40. But what is it about the tiebreaker that screws with his head?
I don't know. I don't know. It's amazing that dude can't play. And yeah, the 12-12, you know, the French Open is still, there's still no tiebreaker, right?
They just go all night.
They just go until you win by two. That's all. You got to keep on going until you win by two. So I'm sorry. If you don't want to play, you don't want to play. I think the Australian is, I think they said it's at six. You're going to go to tiebreaker. After six,
why is it not linear? Why isn't every major the same? Well, I mean, that's kind of, I mean, in golf, I guess in golf, it, you know, in the U.S. Open, you get a whole nother day and
right. The British, it's four holes.
Sure.
Right. So every tournament has its own way to settle, ties. But it was interesting. 12-12. That's the longest match in Wimbledon history. And it was a great match. Great match. Federer could have easily won, though. He could have and maybe should have won that.
Let me ask you this. Are you any more excited about tennis today than you were yesterday?
No, not one bit. I will not tune in for anything until next Wimbledon, probably.
364 days from now.
Probably. And that's only if it's those...
If it's two of the three.
If it's two of the three. That's it. Now, I did watch some of Federer and Nadal, but then I got a job, or then I did some, then I had to pee or something. I forget. Then I had to go. I don't know. Then I got a beer. I don't know what I did, but all I do know is that I watched more tennis because Andy Murray and Serena played, and I was getting stretched. I go to this place called Stretch Zone, and they stretch you. You lay on the table. It's awesome.
I like
it's
that.
You know, it's yoga without actually doing anything.
Perfect. They just do it for you.
They do it for you.
It's
awesome. So, and they got TVs in there, and I was accidentally watching Serena and Andy Murray, and I thought, okay, as soon as I'm done stretching, then I won't be watching this anymore.
Wait, what? Sorry, time out. Why was Serena playing Andy Murray?
No, with Andy Murray.
They were mixed doubles. That's the
first time she's played mixed doubles since '98. I found out. So I did that. So this is the most tennis that I've watched maybe in my life. And although we used to watch tennis back in the day, we used to, you know,
Agassi.
Well, even before that, I watched that.
Laver.
How old are you? Let's really date you here. Not Laver.
Stan Smith. I mean,
Jimmy
Connors. Okay.
And McEnroe and those guys. So it was actually good. It was actually wow. U.S. Open used to be something to watch, but that was really, really a good match. That was really a lot of fun yesterday. And Twitter was a tweet with all of the. It was a flutter with all of the tennis action that was going on. It was a good match. I mean, I love to watch something that's great competitively.
Even if it's tennis. Yeah, you could just listen to the crowd and know who scored the point. It was 85-15. Overwhelming.
Oh yeah, really.
I mean, you almost felt terrible.
I know.
For Joker's family. They had a little box, and they were the only people cheering. You know, I mean, he got like the kind of tennis clap, like, well done.
Usually the players will hit their hand like applaud with their racket to the crowd to thank them. Joker didn't do that.
None of that.
He didn't do that. He just went, yeah, how's that taste? How did that? Eat that. Yeah, I know y'all. Now you can all go home because I won.
He said in a post game or an article that I read that he just hears them saying Novak when they're saying Roger.
He just hears that.
Yeah, that's what he hears. I was like, I wish I could hear that when people are
hissing your movie.
Yeah, when I read, I just like take my name out or I add, I take Pacino out and I just write Layden. That's what I read.
Right, that's what
I have my assistant go through an article and just change it to my name.
Right, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, for those who don't know Eric, he is an actor. He's working in Orlando now on an astronaut series, right?
Yep, based on the book The Right Stuff.
The Right Stuff. And it's a series now as opposed to the movie. Did you watch the movie?
Of course.
Yeah.
Many years ago.
Yes. And is this kind of like that?
I mean, they're both based on the book. So we'll take a long, slow approach as opposed to, 3 hours. I think the movie is about 3 hours. Instead of doing it in 3 hours, we'll do it in, over the course of 2 seasons.
I gotcha. It's a 2-season deal.
2 seasons. And then we would move on to the Gemini program, kind of like an anthology series would. And then the following season would move on to the Apollo era. So it'd move on, and then 5 will get dark with the Challenger era, it would be basically go anthological.
I remember watching that. That was horrible.
It was awful.
So you have to be in Orlando.
Orlando.
Do you move there because you might be there for 5-10 years?
I do move there, but no, I move there temporarily. There? No.
No.
No. No. No. No. Just my golf clubs and t-shirts and shorts.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you want your family exposed to Florida.
Yeah, I mean Florida
as opposed to LA.
Yeah, it's just not. It wouldn't be cool to my kids. I don't want them growing mullets, rat tails. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, start stabbing each other in the eye over pizza.
Yeah, getting bath salts at kindergarten.
Right.
You know, I'm just not into it.
Taking pounds of cocaine to school with them.
Yeah, just eating meth beef jerky.
Right.
I don't know what they do there.
Florida guy is special.
Florida guy's special.
Yeah, he is special. So you got to do that. But but you get your part is shot in pieces.
My part shot in pieces. So it's pretty easy for me to get back and forth to the fam.
Yeah.
So I'm usually there.
Except that it's Orlando, L.A.
Orlando, L.A., 5 hours, not ideal.
Yeah.
But, you do what you got to do. Yeah. That's better than sending the family out. So they'll come out in the fall. We'll do a Disney World trip.
Yeah.
It'll be nice.
Or is it the summer of the time when they're not in school?
It is, but have you ever been to Disney World in the summer?
Yeah, no.
See, I'll just take them out of school in the fall and take them to Disney World.
Yeah.
Because it's really more about me.
That's all right.
I just don't want to be around
and
that.
And it's hot and all those things.
Just the GP, the General Pop, around Disney World in August.
And I imagine,
not ideal.
And I imagine a big star like you that's going to be hard to get around in there.
It is. I got to go hat, glasses. we do get that is probably the biggest perk to have kids, and we work on Universal, like on the back lot.
Oh,
I mean, there is a roller coaster over our soundstage.
Really?
So we have passes to all of it.
Oh,
so it will
cool.
be nice to during lunch, I can essentially walk behind the soundstage and go on a roller coaster.
Oh, really? If
that was who I was.
You never wanted to do that. No. Well, that's cool. That's
but
great.
It's fun.
Yeah. Good for you.
So if you want to get out. See Orlando.
Yeah, no.
I'd take you to Olive
My
Garden.
My wife works for Disney too, so we could go anytime, and we have not. We never have.
Here you go. See,
she's worked there for 20 years, and we've never gone.
Never.
So yeah. Anyway, Eric Layden in studio here. We got to talk. There's so much to talk about. Jadeveon Clowney. Okay, he didn't sign. Is that enough, though?
Yeah, I mean, we knew this day was coming, and we knew the Texans weren't going to do anything as far as. Long term, so we know the deal. He's not going to be there to start training camp, and we'll see how it goes from there.
Did we bury the lead there?
I mean,
if we were 6-10.
It is embarrassing for us that we started off with tennis when that major story was out there for us to really dig into, and we let it alone.
That Jadeveon Clowney still hasn't signed.
You allowed Eric to distract you with tennis talk as opposed to discussing something we've all known for months was going to happen.
Right.
It should have driven the show.
Right. If you need a Jadeveon Clowney update, just tune in to 6-10.
I would much rather talk about you made a bet with Lance about Altuve, right? You said he would get to 300?
I said he'd get to 300.
Oh,
it's 7 hits over the weekend. Now he's at 274.
274 already.
Already.
He was 262 when we said this.
Yes.
Right. And I said he would get to 300 this year.
He will get there.
He will get there.
I'll tell you, this weekend looked good for him.
He really did.
Yeah.
I was so... He was up with the bases loaded, though. He and Bregman in the seventh, I want to say.
Yeah.
And he's so wild at the plate. I'm not going to tell Jose Altuve how to hit.
Sounds like you're about to.
I'm not. Listen, I said I'm not going to tell him how to hit.
But,
man, you know how guys are quiet at the plate?
Yeah.
He is the exact opposite of that.
But don't you think that's new? Don't you feel like he used to be quiet at the plate?
No, I feel like he used to, and I feel like he used to try to pull the ball less. See, when he now he's back, and we'll do this on the other side. Let's talk Jose Altuve. Okay. I'm going to teach him how to hit on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, though, I want to talk about a new advertiser. It's Oops Steam Cleaning. Oops Steam Cleaning. OopsSteam.com. I met with the owners, and they couldn't be nicer people. And it's a commitment. It's a commitment to making sure that your carpets are clean and the system that they use. They use very hot steam, 250 degrees. It kills the funguses and germs and gets rid of mold spores and bacteria. It can clean anything you can think of. If you've got wine stains, beer stains, pee, if you urinate on your floors, which is something you probably shouldn't do, I don't think. But if you do urinate on your floors, you can actually save them. You can save them as opposed to putting in new carpeting. If you've got a dog or a guy who gets drunk all the time and pees on the floor, then you are someone who can save those carpets because of Oops Steam Cleaning. Coffee stains as well. Every single guy that comes to your home, trained and background checked. This is awfully important. Background check. So the guy that's in your home is an employee. He's not just some contractor. They feel like they are responsible for these people. They are people that they can trust. Your people you can trust, and people that you would welcome into your home. These other competitors use warm and soapy water. It doesn't get the job done. You can get this job done with the very hot steam. That's why they call it Oops Steam Cleaning. OopsSteam.com. OopsSteam.com. Stone, tile, grout, rugs, upholstery, dining room, chairs, sofas, drapes, everything. They can clean anything. OopsSteam.com. 281-822-0561.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5, John and Eric. Eric Layden with us in studio here. Dell is here as well, 713-780-3776. Let's talk some Astros baseball. After a crappy start to the Dallas series, then they turned it around the last two games. It was a nice win on Saturday night to come up with the big hits and win that game, and then just destroyed them yesterday. Jose Altuve is starting to look like Jose Altuve again, just slapping it all over the field. When he goes the other way, so good. He's so active, boy. His feet, his arms, his everything, his head, everything seems to be moving. And he's the anti-Bregman. You know how quiet Bregman is at the plate? Yeah. I mean, he's got his stance. You know it's Bregman. You could just put a cutout, and that's Bregman just standing there. Altuve, at any point, you never know where he is, and he's just moving someone. And again, Jose Altuve knows a little bit more about hitting than I do, I think. But he is, if he quieted down just a little bit at the plate, I think he'd see the ball better and maybe hit 700. I'm just saying, that's all I'm saying. I would like to see him hit 700.
You think he's listening?
No, because he's probably in L.A. right now.
Right. Yeah, and who wants to listen from L.A.?
Yeah,
also, the stream's not working because Dell didn't get here.
Yeah, if the stream was working, maybe he'd be listening.
It's working.
It is working now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God. Maybe he is then. Yeah. I mean, listen, I think that he's busier now than he's been. I think he started to press a little bit. I think, it's similar when you see Springer just swing out of his shoes and you know he's not up there for base hits, you know, and when he pressed, when he has those moments of pressing. And I think Altuve got to that place. I think as you see this, like, him start to find his groove, he'll get quieter. He's always been that. He spits 400 times. He checks the batting gloves, helmets. He's like, he like needs a Ritalin, you know, like a little, just a little Adderall or Ritalin up there.
But he is now all of a sudden looking like Jose Altuve again in that these last couple of games this weekend, just spent 7 hits in 11 at-bats. Now, he was 1-for-9 in the first two games of the series, but he's got now multi-hit games, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in his last 10.
And power, 2 home runs, 1 a grand slam.
See, the power thing is another thing that I think... See, Bregman said that, too. He said, and Bregman's got 24 now after hitting 1 on Saturday night. Bregman said, I'd rather hit 274 with 30-plus bombs. I'm going to get paid that way. And he is getting paid. Obviously, he got his $100 million. But I'm not so sure that I don't think that you need Jose Altuve to hit for power. I think you need him to hit for average, be on base, make things happen on the base pass, score runs. I would much rather see Jose Altuve with a 320 batting average, 330 batting average, than a 285, 290 batting average and hitting with power.
I agree. And I think in this lineup, when constructed perfectly, the way when everybody's healthy, I think that you're totally right. I think, though, that the mentality's changing too much that even a guy like Jose Altuve is adjusting for that.
Yeah. You know, well, with Correa down, you know, for much of the season, and that's another story, why they put him on the 60-day when he could have come back. He's already traveling with the team and playing. I'm wondering...
To send a message?
I just don't know. Now he can come back. I believe it's the 26th he can come back now. Right. That'll be the 60 days. But he might have been able to come back earlier. And you don't see a team not letting one of their stars come back, not having one of their stars come back beforehand. Now, that said, he came back maybe a little too early last year, because when he did come back, he didn't have enough at-bats and he looked like crap when he got here.
Yeah.
Remember after his last stint last year on the IL. So maybe they said, you know what, let's give him plenty at-bats before he comes back up here. Let's make sure that he's ready this time, because we can't have him in the lineup every day if he's going to look like as with the lack of confidence that he had last year.
Well, and they know they're... This is a postseason team. We know that. We're not like in a hunt for a spot, right? We sure hope we're not going to be.
No, don't. Yeah.
So I think that they feel confident that they can give this as much time as they need, like you said, to be certain. You know, keep him healthy. He's proven to be soft. Like, he has proven over his entire time here to be soft. He is, you know, he's not a guy that's going to give you 90% of the season. I don't think ever. I just don't think he's that guy. And that's sad to say, but, like, you know, I think you got to look in the future here, too. Like, what's this team look like without Correa in a couple of years? Because I think that is going to be the case. You know, maybe we put Tyler White at short.
Well, I don't think Tyler White fits at short.
No?
I'm not sure that's the long-term plan. Maybe center. Maybe center, but I don't think short's the long-term plan. You know... I think it's fairly obvious now, because we've talked about it. Well, what are you going to do when Springer's up and Correa's up and Altuve's up and Bregman's up? And I think the writing is on the wall for Correa.
Yes.
When you go to arbitration over $750,000 with him and then give Alex Bregman $100 million,
yeah.
When you put him on the 60-day IL when he probably could have come back earlier, I think you're telling him, dude, you can't be, if you're not on the field, you ain't any good to us.
Well, and also, when you're getting hurt at home in massage rooms or whatever's happening, and this is not, you could tell by the way they handled that injury that these guys were not behind him there. You know, Jeff stood up at a mic and said it. AJ stood up at a mic and said it. All of them, you're going to have to ask Carlos what happened.
Yeah.
You're going to have to ask Carlos what happened. I mean, come on, dude. We've been around long enough to know that's not, you know, those guys, that is them saying, this is a you problem, bro. Yeah. You deal with this.
It really, really is.
Yeah. And so whatever happened at that house that night, I don't know what it was. I can't imagine it was a massage, but even if it was, that's him, you know, that is that they are not standing behind him there. They would never do that with George Springer.
No, I think you're right.
They would never do that with Jose or Alex.
I have a feeling that I think the answer is pretty obvious about that. If, in fact, there isn't enough money to pay everybody, it's going to be Carlos that's the odd man out.
And I don't think he minds. I really don't. I think he's a guy that, and we, you know, we've heard things, his wife. I mean, he's a guy that I think wouldn't mind going and wearing pinstripes or going to Boston. You know, or going to L.A. I don't know where that. He ends up.
I think he does like it here. I got you a buddy that's really close to him. I think he does like it here. I think he does worry, though, that the organization – I know he does, that the organization is – whether or not the organization is squarely behind him because of the injury. I mean, it's nothing other than
– business.
Listen, it is. That's all it is. What's your best ability? Availability. And he's not.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, I think it does. I think it worries him. Now, will Carlos Correa find a place? Yeah. Will he be a mega star making mega millions, though?
Not if he can't stay on the field.
That's another question.
I mean, if he could stay on the field, yes. The way he hit the ball at the beginning of the year, his offense, I mean, he finally, all of a sudden, this lineup was scary good when he was hitting the ball. You know, and I mean, you can imagine now adding Alvarez to that. You know, he, for the first time this year, I said, oh, maybe he will be worth it. But then again, then he's out.
Yeah. So something just popped into my head. You know, we keep on talking about all the trade. And I mean, not that I don't know anything. Move and I'm just throwing it out there. Could it be Carlos that would be someone that would trade for a... Scherzer's not available. The Nationals are playing just too well.
Yeah.
They say Syndergaard's not available.
I mean, it would almost have to be Syndergaard and Wheeler or something. I mean, I just don't know that you're...
Well, now you can talk about... Yeah. I mean even with a guy like that, you can talk about.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, but it would have to be that. I mean, you're having to come back with... And you could, you know... Look, my feeling on Tucker's one thing. I mean, I feel like he's a really movable piece, especially now with Alvarez up doing as well as he is. They say he's untouchable, but I mean, moving Correa would be that would this city would go crazy.
I don't know.
I wouldn't be mad.
He's never around anymore.
I wouldn't, and we've proven we can do it without him.
If you got a name like a DeGrom or. I mean, I just throwing it out there.
So what do you do, though, real quick? Let's go down this road for a minute. You move Bregman to short, keep Yuli at third, put Altuve at second, and then what do? You teach Jordan how to play first, or you move Reddick in?
Jordan, eventually, you've got to have an offseason with him.
Yeah.
You got a Tyler White. What are you worried about?
Tyler White. Listen, don't get me started on Tyler White. He's got more pitching appearances than he does home runs.
How about Aledmys Diaz?
Yes. When he's healthy, you can move...
Where is he, by the way?
I don't know. He's
good Lord.
He's just chewing sunflower seeds.
Did he tear this hamstring off his bone? Is a hamstring tied to your bone? I don't think so.
Dude, I love this. I don't know. Can we move Correa? Can we get this?
You know what?
Can this gain speed?
I'm just saying, all I'm saying is that it seems to me that the org. It was stunning on the week that they take him to arbitration. They're giving Bregman $100 million. To me, that was a sign that couldn't hit you in the face any harder. Where Correa is in the organization,
Correa and Bukauskas.
Bukauskas.
Bless you.
Yes.
Okay. He and Correa for Syndergaard and Wheeler.
Oh, I don't think they'd do that.
No.
I don't think they'd do that.
Let's just say Syndergaard and a bullpen arm.
You know, they'd probably say Syndergaard's worth more than Correa right now. You're going to have to throw in more. That's what they'd probably say. Now, this is just all speculation, but hey, got to stay on the field, bro. If you ain't around, you ain't no good to us. 713-780-3. And if you're going to be a champion, you got to be on the field. That's for sure. And if you want champion energy, who was it, Dell? Didn't you say that somebody was a champion? Who was it that's a champion now?
Who?
Did you text me?
No, I don't talk to you. Yes, when I don't have to.
You slip into my
no,
DMs.
I don't slip. You don't have Instagram. No one's slipping into your DMs.
Okay. You slide right in, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, somebody said, oh, guess what? Guess who is a champion now? They just signed. Oh, Alex Bregman is with Champion now. Alex Bregman. Oh, they saw the commercial. Alex Bregman is speaking for Champion Energy. Well, I'm sure he's a champion proponent. I'm sure that he has it at his house. I'm sure Alex Bregman with his 100. You know what he's doing with his 100 million? Keeping it. Because he's not paying more than he has to for his electricity. You know what's stupid? Paying more for your electricity than you have to. My bills are so low in the middle of summer. It's 9,000 degrees, and my bill this week, this month was stupid low. I spit on it. I so disrespected it. So if you're looking for a bill that you can disrespect, all you got to do is go to 1560energy.com. That's 1560energy.com. Stop paying more. Oh, yeah, they got nights and weekends and blah, blah, blah. But you're paying more. Just know this. I don't care what other energy company you're with. You're paying more. 1560energy.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I mean, it's huge for him. You know, he's been trending in the right direction and doing a lot of work and getting a lot more hits. And, you know, we're all happier when Jose gets his hits and in big fashion like that. It's huge for us. I mean, even this game as it was playing out, they were still in the game based on us not being able to get that two out hit, and that wasn't a two out hit, but it was a huge hit to, you know, to give us that exhale and that comfortable lead. We got a couple guys out of the game. We got some work for some guys that hadn't pitched yet after the All-Star break.
All right, there's AJ yesterday about the win. Brad Peacock had a setback with his shoulder. So now, what they're going to do is they're going to start Josh James instead of Fromber, because Fromber was more effective coming out of the bullpen. Like, they're going to try to fool Fromber now. So tonight in L.A., they're going to fool Fromber, and you're not going to be a starting pitcher. You're a bullpen guy. But they're going to work James as an opener. Not only do you have this game where you have no starter, but you have tomorrow night where you have no starter. Then you hit Cole, Miley, Verlander Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. This is, okay, it has gotten to an emergency point with this organization. Jeff Luhnow is so... Listen, it took until there was a minute left on the September 1st deadline for him to sign, for him to do the Justin Verlander deal. He did nothing. Well, he got Presley and Osuna, but he didn't bolster the starting rotation. And they certainly did help last year, but he didn't. He has got to act. He has got to give something up. I know he is so hesitant. He's so afraid to give up young talent. We see a lot of young, good players that we had in the organization, that Jeff Luhnow, J.D. Martinez, sure, gave him up. Hader gave him up. Santana gave him up. Oh, well, this happens all the time.
We also want to ring.
This team is good enough to win a title if you get another top quality starter in here.
Yeah, not only that. I mean, yeah, what that does is also move, it adds bullpen, right? So by doing that. you're saving your bullpen. I mean, you're handling two jobs with one move.
Well, what's going on with these two starters now? And Miley, he's going longer with just because he has to now, because he can't tax the bullpen anymore. He's got to trust Miley. At the beginning of the season, I'll bet you. I want to take a look. Let's take a look at Miley's game.
And by the way, yeah, Miley shouldn't be pitching as many innings as he pitches.
Well, he has to though.
He has to.
He has to. But let's see.
Where did they move Snead, by the way, who
earlier
ate up
in the
six
season,
innings the other
5.2, 4.0, 6.0, 6.0, 5.2, 6, 6, 6, 5, 6. He got to seven innings. He's gotten to seven innings once this year, seven complete innings once this year. Because that's AJ. If it's Verlander and Cole, you know, and Cole, Verlander, he can't go out there. Verlander will punch him in the face if he tries to take the ball from him before the eighth inning. But Cole, now he's got to trust, and he says, okay, I'll let him go. He's a big, strong kid. Now Miley, he actually let him go six into the seventh inning, 6 2/3, because he's got to. Because the other two starts now are all bullpen.
Yeah, that's what we
all
are.
All bullpen.
We're bullpen days.
Yes.
We have two back to back.
Even if it's Brad Peacock, it's like hopefully he gets through the fourth. Hopefully he gets five in. But you know you're going to need him for four innings when Peacock or whomever else that other start. I mean, I guess you got to go with McHugh tomorrow. I guess I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do. It's going to be another compilation because you couldn't all of the guys that they brought up this year, not one of them has been able to step up and give you innings. All of the Rogelios and CNLs and Martins and Frombers and all of the guys that they brought up this year, they haven't been able to count on to give them anything. They've all sucked. So this has put them in such a bind right now, and Jeff Luhnow's got to act. I know he wants
He's
to
He's going
wait.
To act. And but Jeff, we trust.
But it's the 15th already.
No, I understand. And by the way, there is no post. This is it. You got another 15 days. That's it.
That's it.
It's the fine line of like, right? Like, do we overpay now or do we wait and let other teams, you know, let the sellers get a little bit more anxious? I mean, I think you're going to see it all happen within the 25th to the 30th. 31st. I know that that's scary because I think some of those people are going to be gone.
Well, that's a part. That's it. Now the guy that you wanted, okay, and you know quite possibly you were going to make a deal with four, but you I don't want to give a
And he's gone.
He's gone.
Right.
That sucks. You know what? I know it's going to hurt. It's got to hurt. You know, if the trade doesn't hurt,
then
you didn't get anybody.
Exactly.
It's got to hurt. It's got to hurt a little bit.
I have to believe that he knows this window with Cole coming up next year. I have to believe that he knows the window is now and that they're willing to give up young guys for it. You know, I don't know. Obviously, the last segment we were joking. I don't know that Correa is the move.
No.
But I do believe he has to know he's got to give up young guys. I think he really thought a lot of these guys were going to come up and prove valuable as trading pieces, but none of them have. I'm talking about these pen guys. None of these guys have done anything.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
And then, you know, with as many injuries, you know, McCullers and Morton gone are two just massive pieces that are out, you know?
And Keuchel too.
He's actually...
You lost three-fifths. And this, I wrote about this before the season. You can't lose three-fifths of your rotation and just think, we're just going to plug in Miley, McHugh, and Peacock and think... It's all going to be okay. It wasn't. It's not. The Yankees went out and look at how proactive they were. And oh my goodness, the guys that LeMahieu is a freaking MVP candidate, and you know, picking up Paxton and the Ottavino, and oh my goodness, you know what? The other team, they got better while you got significantly worse.
Do you think that's because he's won a World Series? Like, do you think that the pressure is off because he won a World Series? Like, do you think,
No, I don't think that his desire is any less. I think he is apt to be slow and not be, he's not a trader. He's not Daryl Morey.
No.
He's the anti-Daryl Morey.
Yes.
He wants to, he is going to make sure that he gets the most value. He's going to try to win that trade every time, and he doesn't want to give up his young talent. He doesn't want to give up the farm system. But he's so good at drafting and evaluating and developing that guys will, he will refurbish the minor league system. Even though he gives up good guys, he's going to refurbish it. He's got to, I think that he's got to have more confidence in himself to say, you know what, we'll, that's okay. We'll be able to withstand this, losing those guys.
I think they look at, I have no doubt there's got to be a move. I understand the anxiousness of getting it done now. I'm hesitant to question, though, what's going on right now behind the scenes. I don't think you'd hear about it like you would other teams, where you hear everything about what they're doing. You know, I think that he's going to be, he's notoriously quiet and stealth, and, you know,
No, you're not going to hear anything.
You're not going to hear anything.
That's for sure. And, you know, and, oh, by the way, you know, the owner, Jim Crane, told us he will, there. Don't forget, we can't make a move. We will make a move. There's still the trade deadline. And we're hitting it. We're looming. It's looming now.
15 days.
That's it. 745 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you want to talk Astros baseball, we'll talk. There's some stuff to talk about with the Russell Westbrook stuff. I guess we could talk about Jadeveon Clowney if you want. I guess, you know, today's the day. So I know that that's, you know, nonstop wall-to-wall over at 610. But here, if you want to talk about something else, you're more than welcome to do that. We can talk tennis because I'm now a tennis expert because I watched yesterday's match. Well, I watched some of it. I watched from 5-5 in the fifth set. I watched from there.
That was still 4 hours.
Yeah, I know, right?
So you, so yeah,
I've watched more tennis than I've ever watched in my life. So we can do that as well. Right now, though, you know, and I didn't. I'm so mad that I didn't do it with any beer. I could have done it with beer, but when I drink beer, I also take Cheers. If you're looking for a great way to not have a hangover, and this is guaranteed, because if you don't feel 50% better after you take your Cheers, cheershealth.com, if you don't feel 50% better the next day, then they're going to give you your money back. But I'm going to tell you this, this doesn't happen. You know why? Because you will feel better. You are going to feel like, wow, you know, I had a few too many, or I just had a few. And this is a lot of reason maybe some people don't even have a glass or two of wine. It's because I don't want to feel sluggish tomorrow. I don't handle alcohol well. Well, Cheers Health definitely will combat that. It does every single time. And it helps your liver out. It helps. Listen, it was designed by Ivy League scientists and doctors, PhDs, not me. Really smart people. They put this together, and if you're looking to curb that hangover feeling, cheershealth.com. They're right here in Houston, so if you order today, you'll get it tomorrow. Order before 3 o'clock today, and you'll have your Cheers Health bottle tomorrow. Just take 3 capsules, and you're going to feel better the next day. I do it all the time. Cheershealth.com. That's cheershealth.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Concept Mayhem says, Luno's reluctance to act is the equivalent of McClellan during the Civil War, despite constant pleading from the president to do something. So basically, Granato is the modern-day Lincoln. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that, Dell? I kind of feel like that makes a lot of sense.
What, that you're modern-day Lincoln?
Yeah.
So which play are you going to?
Wait, I'm not going to. No.
Wow.
No, that's the one that you went right to the play?
Wow.
Well, yeah.
You went right to the play.
That is.
What about the Emancipation Proclamation?
Well, that.
How about that?
Yeah, that did occur.
Where is my...
Where's your what?
Where's my... My
you
monument.
You want a monument? Okay. Well, yeah. To get a monument, you have to go to the play.
Not what?
Because if he...
The monument comes after the play?
Yeah. Because if he doesn't go to that play, he may not get a monument.
I'm going to the play in probably about 20 years. I'm going to go to play.
No.
Yeah.
Let's try next week. See what happens.
If Jeff makes a deal in the next 5 days, will you go to a play?
No. No.
I'm sure Maury's got a play this year somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere around town. Daryl's got a play we can get you into.
I'm just glad we now know that Daryl Morey was still working on basketball stuff as opposed to, you know, being in the arts, because that was a concern.
What did people think he was moving too closely to the arts? Like LeBron in LA, everybody's really worried about how he's getting into Hollywood. Was there a lot of concern around town that Maury was getting too into the art scene in Houston?
People assumed he forgot that Michael Carter Williams couldn't play because he was, you know, doing the art thing. Michael Carter Williams hadn't been able to play for 5 years now. And people were like, Michael Carter Williams, Carmelo, who else did he get in the out? James Ennis. He must have been working on that.
He had a big offseason.
He's been working on that play.
right. But his musical is good.
You know what? Is Melo still out there?
Look, I'm still trying to find an understudy for my lead. What's Carmelo doing? That's the reasoning.
Wow. James Ennis. Oh my goodness. Yeah, he had a tough offseason.
Yeah.
Brian Windhorst, this Chris Paul stuff and James Harden stuff still out there. Here is something. Brian Windhorst revealed some of what Harden and Paul said to another during Golden State series. One exchange had to do with what Windhorst described as a schematic thing and an issue with spacing. And Harden wanted none of Paul shouting orders at him. Chris barked at James and James turned to him. This was described to me by a player who was on the court. And he said, "What's with you? It's always effing something." Windhorst revealed. That's a big revelation. That's what this whole article is about.
Yeah, I actually heard that. It was on, they had, because it's free agency trade season, everything's an emergency podcast. So I heard it there, and he was talking to multiple guys, and he told that story there. I think that's where they pulled it from. I mean, that seems like just a normal basketball thing.
I mean, it's not like, if you have any like Days of Our Lives music, you could just roll under that dialogue. That's all that, I mean, that's, isn't that just Tuesday? I mean, these guys talk like that?
The Rockets will tell you that. That has been their story throughout the offseason. Hey, they're just competitors who have some disagreements. No big deal. And then we'll trade one of them.
It's not Kumbaya and Golden State.
So
not at all.
No.
So there's been a lot of articles that James Harden wanted to team with Russell Westbrook. The biggest factor was not the rift between James and Chris Paul. It was that James wanted Russell Westbrook.
Tell that to CBS Sports, because they had an article over the weekend saying James Harden pushed for Chris Paul to get out.
That was what James was talking about when he said, "I know what we have to do. We have to get rid of Chris Paul. I know what we have to do. We have to get rid of Chris Paul." When will the honeymoon between Russ and James end? Because apparently it's a thing now. James can't play with another star. They can't get along. It will not work. When will the Russell Westbrook, James Harden love fest end?
All-Star game? Pre-All-Star game?
I think it's going to be over a year.
I feel like it'll be
not this coming season, but the following.
You think they'll get along this season? You think they'll make it work?
I do.
We've got two guys who, if you're listening to Kevin Durant's brand manager, people don't like playing with Russ, and apparently people don't fare well playing with James after the year, if you're a star.
So maybe that's just what they need. I mean, maybe these two guys find that in each other, right? People hate us. Let's just be villains. Let's let everybody not want to play with us. And let's just see if we can get through it.
I don't know that they... both of them. Did you hear on... I heard the guy who Russell Westbrook had an issue with.
Which guy?
The media guy. Okay. That didn't answer any of his questions.
Oh.
Next question.
Yeah. Next question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, he said that Alvin Gentry called Russell Westbrook an angry black man. He said, "Why are you so angry all the time, dude?"
Talked to Russell about
Russell
it?
Russell about
okay.
it.
Okay.
He told him to his face, "Why are you so angry all the time, dude? What's with you? What's the matter with you?" And Russ is an angry, angry person. And it won't be long. And James is a star, and he's a bit of a diva. He couldn't get along with Dwight. Couldn't get along with Chris Paul. Couldn't get along with Kevin McHale. All of them. Beat it. And this is James's organization. Make no mistake about it.
Sure.
We'll find out whether or not now. Barry Trammell is his name. Thank you, Joel. We'll find out how long he and Russ, who, listen, James has vowed, according to Jonathan Fagan, James has vowed to play more off the ball. James didn't hog the basketball as much 2 years ago as he did this past year. I think he liked playing with Chris. It was successful. They won 65 games. But God, when things went a little bit south this year, of course, Chris wasn't around, so James had to dominate the ball. James had to isolate more. James had to take more of the load on himself. I don't want to put this, you know, James did what he had to do. But when Chris came back and Chris was healthy, James was still dominating the ball. But I think in large part because Chris couldn't do what he did before.
Yeah, but do you think that he will be as successful, as productive off the ball? Because like him saying he's going to play off the ball and he's willing to play off the ball for Wes, then or for Russ, then like that's one thing. But will he be as productive? And I think at the end of the day, like yeah, he might say he's going to play off the ball, but when the productivity's not there, then he's right. going to start dominating
exactly
the ball.
Right.
And so then he's going to start dominating the ball, and what's going to happen? Then that's going to cause a fracture because Russ can't play off the ball. Like if one of those guys can play off the ball, it's Harden. Russ cannot. So, and Harden is going to get his.
Well, I think there's going to be an awkward time for this organization, and it's going to be feeling out. Any time that you have a new fit, it takes a little bit of time. If Russ will not shoot as many threes, if these guys vow, James won't ISO as much, cut it down from maybe 16 a game to 10 a game, 9 a game, where he was the first year with Chris Paul. And if Russ takes fewer shots, drives more, kicks to open guys, finishes at the basket where he's much more effective, this will be a good basket. It's a better team than it was last year.
I think they'll be a good basketball team, whether they live up to those promises or not. I just think they will. Now, allegedly, Russ was intrigued by playing in the D'Antoni offense because he'll have spacers. He'll have the opportunity to drive and kick, and that would fit his game if we look at the numbers. Now, last year, the numbers were atrocious shooting. He hasn't ever been that bad, so maybe he had a knee injury to start the year, so maybe those numbers, we don't see those numbers in terms of how terrible they were in this upcoming year. Maybe last year was an outlier. It's nice to talk about the Rockets will do in the regular season, but we're at a point now, are we past this point with the Rockets in the regular season? Are we still focused on this, or is it how do they fit when it matters more? Because I guess that's the whole, does anything ever really matter if you're not winning a title thing that we get into sometimes? But is this because there was a trade, we can actually look at the season and go, hey, maybe there'll be progress. We'll see. Or do we say, forget it, let's see what happens in the postseason?
Well, you know, they've got to be a good regular season team, though, anyway. Let's talk about it on the other side. 801 ESPN 97.5. They still have to be a good team to get where they want to go. If you're on the road every playoff series, guess what?
That's true. I don't think the combination with who's coming back, I don't think they have any chance being bad unless injuries take place.
No.
What my whole thing with them now, because I've seen the great regular seasons, is how do they fit when it comes to playoff time?
We'll see. 801 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Now at McDonald's, get a $5 McChicken meal deal or a $6 McDouble meal deal. They come with small fries, a soft drink, and 4-piece McNuggets. We're going to need a bigger tray. Get more value with your meal deal with McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.